4, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm not sure if they're running to choir or running to escape. Which is it? All right, once you get some notes, you may stand, please, everybody. All of you, I get to preach to this large, empty space up here tonight. Carly, see, my eyes are getting bad. I can just make out Carly back there. All right. Tonight, we're going to do something in 30 minutes and be done. Now, hear me. The first point of the sermon, if I just preached that and we stopped, you would learn everything I have to say. I'm going to say the easiest thing you have ever heard and something you will spend the rest of your life dealing with. I promise you, you will spend a lifetime dealing with this subject. It is a subject that I have thought more about, but I want to say before we begin, I knew nothing about Titus before 2 weeks ago because I think I thought I knew something about Titus. If we could do a bet and you told me where is Titus talked about, I would tell you before 2 weeks ago, I would have said, anybody? The book of Acts. Titus. Jim. Yes, Titus. I would have said the book of Acts. Look at me. Not even mentioned in the book of Acts. That's bizarre. So this is the reason I like this is I can draw things together that are just, you would spend a long time reading before you came across these. We're going to look at the last reference to Titus. I'm not going to really say much about this, just as an introduction. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul is obviously at the end of his life. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, I can get into the Greek words. That will impress you. By the way, he's saying something like this. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to lay down my life. That's what's going to happen. Then he has, of course, one of the great texts. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I think I understand that more with age than I did as a young man. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Timothy, I'm adding the word. Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica." And then you have the reference, Crescens to Galatia, the province, the Roman province of Galatia, probably. We don't know anything about the wise. Titus unto, that's where the spotted dogs are from. Just think Dalmatian coast, and if you don't know where that is, look it up. It would be better for you to look it up than for me to tell you, frankly. "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus," or Tychicus, or however you say this poor guy's name, "I have sent to Ephesus." Paul is then asking Timothy to bring Emily. It's cold here in the wintertime. "Please bring me something to put on. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments, the membranes." That's interesting because that's what it was. He goes on to say, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, here it is, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. By the way, here's my confidence. God will deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence, Timothy. Timothy, do thy diligence to come before. It's cold here. I don't have a coat. Now, you might not ever think about people like that. We're going to talk about Titus. I'm not going to deal with 2 Timothy. The only thing we know from 2 Timothy, two things. This is the last reference to Titus. And number two, he's not there for some reason. I'm going to guess in his case, good reason. Only because of every other part of the Bible that talks about him, it's always a good reason. So we're going to talk about Paul's special, I'm using old English, stay and support. You know, a stay was something that was just solid. You could lean on it. You could depend on it. The thing that shocks me is I did not know much about Titus because he's only mentioned much in two books. Hopefully, I'll be able to help you tonight. Let's pray together. Father, bless our time. I ask now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read through everything very quickly as an introduction. There's going to be no stories in the beginning. Titus seems to be well known. He seems to be everywhere, but strangely, outside of Jim's quirky, smirky comment, again, not Jim. By the way, Jim is right. I think we know a lot about Titus because there's a little book called Titus. But frankly, if my life depended on it, or if my salary depended on it, I'd have said he was in the book of Acts, and I'd have been deadly wrong. He seems to be everywhere, but is strangely hardly anywhere. The Epistle of Titus, obviously he's there. I mean, three chapters, he's obviously there. In the book of Acts, he's not mentioned at all. I found that shocking, just shocking. He is mentioned a total of 13 times. I don't think that includes, there's a reference where he's appended on the back of a book, but in actual text, 13 times. He's mentioned mostly. Is everybody ready? 2 Corinthians. That's the kicker. We learn almost everything important about him from 2 Corinthians and secondarily Galatians. He's only really mentioned in 2 Corinthians, Galatians, one reference in 2 Timothy and mentioned by name once or twice in Titus. Kind of strange. Very strange. So what do we learn? Well, the things we learn, the first one is so important, and I would have never guessed this. We find Titus an emotional support. We have how many books of Timothy? Two. What's the difference between Timothy and Titus? One man said it, and I thought, I never seen this in my life. He said, Timothy, you always had to encourage Timothy. It appears very clearly that Timothy was a person that got discouraged a lot. You don't write to people and say, by the way, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear if the person doesn't have some problems. You never find any of that with Titus. And can I say, Titus was on the other side of the equation. We'll see in the text. Titus seems to be one of the few guys in the New Testament that came along with the Apostle Paul. And not only did he come alongside the Apostle Paul, instead of Paul have to encourage him, he's encouraging Paul. That is a precious lesson. As I say, was I in for a surprise? I've read the Bible a time or two. I love to read, and I've read the book of Titus. I might preach on the book of Titus beginning in the new year. I love this stuff, but I never thought about him scattered throughout the New Testament. And there's really not a lot about the man Titus. Look at the text and see. And by the way, do not do religion. Feel what Paul's saying, because 2 Corinthians, in case you don't know, is the book that shows Paul's heart more than any other book. He is in a bad spot, and he shares emotions. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. If you stop there, you could wax eloquent. Woo! Paul is the man. God has opened a door. And the next thing you, well, just read what it says. It's like, what? He said, but I had no rest in my spirit. Why? Because I found not Titus, my brother. And when I didn't find Titus, what did he do with this open door? He left. It seems to me that Titus was an emotional support to Paul. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, Corinthian church. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. Interesting. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. But see, we want to be religious. Everybody, look at me. You and I want to be far too religious. I'm just walking down the road and God gives me comfort. Normally, God gives us comfort and strength and help through another person. God normally uses secondary means. And by the way, when Paul was surrounded by problems and had his own fears, by the way, not irrational fears, very rational fears, surrounded by from without and within, somebody comes along. Oh, I love this. Look what it says. He says, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, and without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation or the encouragement wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward us, so that I rejoiced the more. Friends, basic things. We all need emotional support. Yes or no? Now, in this room, how do I know? It's in any room. Some people need less emotional support than others. But there are no people that don't need some people occasionally to come alongside, because most of us, we're not the Apostle Paul. Don't get ahead of yourself. But we have our problems without, and we have some internal problems. We need the person to come alongside and support us emotionally. We just do. So here are my thoughts. We all need emotional support. Paul obviously needed it, which I find to be ironic. Wasn't Paul made of granite? Wasn't Paul, look at me, wasn't he the man of steel? Let me ask, isn't that what you think? I think we kind of look at certain people, they don't need help, and then we want to put ourselves up and we want to climb the stairs. And when you get up here, you don't have any of the problems. By the way, Dr. Marriott told me the funniest story. I got to tell it again. I might have told it. He went to a conference. Tim, you know the conference. It's someplace in Milwaukee area, Tim, but I won't go any further. And he heard a guy preaching on the higher life, that if you just have faith, the guy literally used this analogy. He says, it's like being in a hot air balloon. You get up above all the problems. Dr. Marriott said, yeah, that's hot air theology. Can I say this to you? This side of eternity, you're never getting to that place. Now, there might be weeks, there might be months, there might even be years you don't have problems. But we all need people to come alongside. Paul had a guy named... Now, what's interesting, I think he loved Timothy. I know he did, because at the very end of his life, only Timothy's with him, or only Luke. But he wanted Timothy to come. He loved Timothy. But I think Titus was the guy that was always there for that encouragement, that emotional support in your notes. I don't want to spend time on this, friends. I'll just say it for a minute. So we all need emotional support. Paul obviously did so. Next, emotional support that isn't always emotional. I'm not referring, if you're crying, the person comes and cries with you. That might happen, by the way, it might happen. For instance, you're in a great loss. Remember Job's three friends? For 7 days, they didn't speak. That was the best 7 days of their life. If they would have spent the next 70 days not talking, things would have been good. There is a time to come alongside and weep, but sometimes we're not talking emotional support weeping. Sometimes you just need somebody there. Who? Next, emotional support that actually, and this is the hard part. Remember I said this is going to be hard? That actually supports. How do you know if a person is actually good for you? Did you all get the question? How do you know somebody is actually good for you? Sometimes you think they're good for you because they come. Oh, Mike, yeah, you're right, Mike. I'm not picking on Mike. It's just, Mike, of course you're right. Yes, that person's so evil. But that's not emotional support. That's not a person that helps you. It makes you feel good for a while. Man, I'm righteous, I'm the best. But emotional support that actually supports. I had a conversation with my bossy daughter recently. This came up, nothing to do with anybody here. It was just something that came up in the ether. She was sharing with me, and I said to her, I'm at the stage I don't want any. Now, I got a question for you. Would you even recognize a corrosive relationship? Everybody, look at me, please. Would you recognize a corrosive relationship? A relationship that isn't supporting you, but a relationship that you might like it. You know, since we're small tonight, I'll pick on Steve. I like to pick on Steve anyhow. We're in a group. We're in the anti-Steve group. And every time we get together, Cliff, let's go talk tonight. Let's talk about, you know, Steve. Has that ever happened? By the way, Mike, in this church, the founding members, people I loved, spent their whole life talking about Ron Hill. By the way, I call that a corrosive friendship. Do you understand? I do not find that to be easy. And here's what has to happen. I told Amy, we were talking, it came up in a roundabout way, nothing to do with here. She had read on the, you know, by the way, she went to Bob Jones a long time ago. She's seeing all those perfect Bob Jones people not do so perfectly. Carly, how long have you been out of Pensacola now? 3 years, 4 years, 4 years. You're not sure. Now, I'm not being silly. Carly, already kids you went to school with have departed from the faith. Can I say this to all of you? You do not need any corrosive friendships that come alongside and they want to talk about Steve or talk about Mike or talk about Pastor. You get in those kind of friendships, they make you feel really good because you feel righteous, but they don't help you. I don't need them anymore. I will say this. I'm going to just say the name briefly. I went to a Bible college. I'm not going to say the name of the place. I wouldn't recommend you go there, nor your dog, nor your cat. Now hear me, but I also have nothing to do with people that spend the lifetime criticizing the place. You say, well, I got a life to live. Has nothing to do with that. I graduated 40 years ago. Get out of here. I got a whole life. Friends, no corrosive relationships. Now, some of this came about because Amy asked me some specific questions, which I'm not going to tell you. But I'm going to give you statements I made to her, if you don't mind, in your notes. I said, I'm at the stage I don't want any corrosive relationships. Either I'm helping them. And by the way, I have lots of relationships where I'm attempting to help somebody. Or they're helping me. I have a lot less of those than I do the first ones. Either I'm helping them or they are helping me. And I don't know if the punctuation is correct, Mrs. Warren. You may share it with Christy if it's wrong. Or preferably, but rarely, a completely mutual back and forth. At this present time, I only have two people in that position. Now, friends, I talk to people all the time. I have a group of people I call. I call nothing to do with this church. Guys outside, all pastors. Kevin Bowder's one. Chuck Ells one. Those are the only two friends I have that are mutual. Now, I had to be very careful because there's people that know some of my other friends. I love some of the other friends. We're close. Actually, I talked to one of those other friends much more than I do Bowder. I said mutual, where I encourage, he encourages. Two people. Who are your people? Now, I have a bunch of people that I love, that I call, and I realize I'm the strong one in the relationship. I have to encourage them. I'm okay with that. It's not corrosive. It's pleasant. It's kind. It's gentle. But I don't do corrosive. Why do I need corrosive relationships? Why do I need people that undermine me constantly or undermine my, all right, I'll just mention her name. She's not perfect. She's in this room. I see her in the back. Sparky. She's not perfect. Now, she is the most creative person I've ever encountered in my entire life and exceptionally intelligent and very well read in history and extremely good for our kids. But other than that, she's not perfect. Oh, shut up. I don't need people to come along and tell me, oh, she's not perfect. I know that. By the way, she knows better than I know her how imperfect I am. Go ahead, Sparky. An amen, sister. By the way, we don't need corrosive relationships. Yes or no? You're hanging around people and all your conversations about somebody else. Don't you recognize that? Stay away from or make those relationships very loose. Very outer core. I talked to two people. Those are my two best friends at the present time, Bowder and Chuck Ells. I don't know why, Chuck. I don't know where that came from. Great guy. I have two other guys I talk to, one guy not in the ministry, one in the ministry, and then I probably have 10 guys that I talk to occasionally. I don't have any corrosive relationships. Look at me in the eyes. I got rid of those years ago. I don't need them. In your notes. So either I'm helping them or they are helping me, or preferably, but rarely, a completely mutual and back and forth kind of thing. I said these exact words to Amy about an individual. I said, these are my exact words. I said, the person is not a bad guy, but he's bad for me. Did you all get that? It's the weirdest thing in the world happens. I'm serious. You can have a relationship with a certain person, and for you, it's a good relationship. It's positive, but you take that person or me, this person, and put them in a different context, And they're with another person, and the same dynamic's not there. I have had to grow up where I realize somebody can be a good person, but not good. Well, I've said it both ways. I'll give you both ways of saying it. They're not a bad guy, but they're bad for me, or saying it the opposite. They are a good guy, but not good for me. Does this make sense to you? And I must carefully deal with that. I am responsible. I say my responsibility. My responsibility is to ask some questions. Am I helping them? So when I look around this room tonight, everybody here has relationships. This is not about one person. This is about Paul, actually. Everybody has relationships. Ask the question, am I helping them? Or are they helping me? Or are both happening? Is that a fair question? Yes or no? Now, everyone, no, I don't win any sympathy. Sympathy doesn't work with me. There's several things that don't work with me. Bribing doesn't work. Oh, my goodness. I want to be real simple. I realize in my job, 95 to 97% of my relationships is I'm the one giving out. I'm okay with that. I would say for our teachers here, how much emotional support, Emily, should you get from second graders? Well, you're going to get some love because there's going to be kids that love you. Now, I don't know if my buddy, the Mighty Mason, loves you yet. I think he's still in love with Carly. That's just personal opinion. And in the right way, I'm serious. In the right way, you get some encouragement. But you should expect when you walk in the classroom, you're there for them. As a pastor, I realize I'm there for people. That's kind of my role. I don't need that, but I do need emotional support. Yes, everybody does. I would say 90 to 95 to 97%, I'm on the helping side. About 0 to 5%, I'm being helped. And I want to be very clear, I don't expect much from people in that area. I'm okay with that. But I do need that 0 to 5%, and I want to say this to you. I know where to get it. Do you? Unless you think you're above the fray and you don't want to open up to anybody, everybody has tough times. My friend Kevin Bodder just had a perfect family leave his church. They were so perfect that they were more perfect than Jesus. They have never done wrong except one small thing. From their early 20s up until their mid-50s, they had never been in a church. Other than that, they were good Christians. Because they could never find any place that's quite worthy of them. By the way, Kevin needed somebody to talk to. I'm the guy, because I talk to him. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know these. Next page. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house. By the way, you just understand, you need to develop friendships that you hold on to, that either three principles, either you're helping, they're helping you, or it's mutual. Now, it's beautiful if it's mutual, but that's rare. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Number two in your notes, Titus was also a practical or logistical support. He was somebody that seems like he came along and just helped Paul out with ministry stuff, work stuff, things that Paul needed to do in your notes. It says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 7, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire. So he's logistically helping Paul with the church at Corinth. He's sharing information because he was probably one of Paul's substitutes, so to speak. He says, he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea or yes, and exceeding the more joyed, we joyed with the joy of Titus. Because Titus comes in and supported Paul, but he also was logistically or practically a great support. Because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I had boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. Later on, chapter 8, when we talk about chapter 8 and 9, is about the offering for the poor in Jerusalem. He says, inasmuch as that we desire Titus that as he began, so he would also finish in your same grace also. 16 and 17, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, or more, you know, out there, so to speak, of his own accord, he went unto you. A logistical support in your notes. None of this is deep, folks. I'm going to say ministry, but everybody look at me, please. I don't want to make this religion. Too many churches, the church is about religions, what we do at church. This is life. Everybody in this room, you need some a few emotional support. And if you're a mature Christian, you're going to support a lot more people emotionally. But no corrosive relationships, no mutual gossip corners where you criticize and tell everybody how, we're the good. Oh, no. Secondly, you need help. You need logistical support. By the way, do you know where to go? Hey, some people have a very difficult time ever asking for help. Why? There is none of us that can do everything. See these nice decorations? I did all this myself. I didn't do the tree. That was Cliff. He's going to worship the tree before church and after church. That's him. By the way, folks, let's look at simple things in your notes. It's always about work. Secondly, lots of work. I'm thinking of the ministry because that's what Paul did, but I don't think it makes any difference in life. You have children, you have marriage problems, you need support. And sometimes it's real logistical. Now, I'm going to say this. If you get up here to preach, you can brag on your spouse. My wife is the best with the grandkids. She's better in one day than I am in a year. Anytime Amy's having a bad day or Amy and Jared need to go out, she asks me, by the way, everybody look at me. She asked me, is it okay if we keep the kid? What if I said no? She would go over to their house, yes. Or I'd be sleeping in the garage, which is a little cold this time of the year. No, I love the kids too. But by the way, she's the one that does it. Can I say this? My wife did not have that when she was Amy's age, correct? We never had that person if we wanted to go out. Now, I want to say this to all of you in this room. You've got to get out of your head or wherever your head's at. You're going to need help. Paul needed some logistical support. And that's not a big fat mouth. That's just the person that comes along and helps. My wife is phenomenal with that, with the kids, the grandkids. In your notes, I say this. It's always about work, lots of work, more work than one man can do, work that takes many hands. In this case, it's work about the gospel. But in some ways, when my wife takes care of the grandkids, it's still that. It's work about the gospel. It's work for God's glory. Second to last, it's work not about us personally. And it's work that requires like-mindedness. Like-mindedness. 2 Corinthians 8:16 says this, but thanks be to God, which has put, read this text, the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Paul had a guy that he knew was just like him, not maybe as gifted as him, maybe not as good as him, that could come alongside and Paul could say, here. Everybody look at me. I need somebody to lead the singing tonight. Did you hear me? By the way, you should spend the rest of your life figuring out what you can do and what you can't do and always being that person, because you need to be that person and you need those people. Can I lead the singing? Frankly, yes. My goodness, I took a song leading class. I know how to beat the pattern. And my favorite thing is, of course, because musicians are so bad. My wife, of course, is perfect, but other musicians, that I, when I did it in St. Louis a few times, I love to be just slightly out of step. Because that, by the way, doesn't bother most of you. It's like, what's that mean? Musicians know. All right. By the way, Paul also says this about another guy named Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Do me a favor, do not contrast the two men. I do think what I said initially, it appears to me that Titus didn't need a lot of emotional support himself, and Timothy did. And in Philippians, don't overread it. He's saying right now, right here, I don't have anybody like-minded. Timothy's the guy. He had other people. Now I'm going to ask you a question. See if any of you know. Does everybody in the room here tonight, except our Filipinos, which we have five or six tonight, if I say the word Pinoy, it means a Filipino. If I say the word Chinoy, that's a Chinese Filipino. Do you know I have a person in this church that every time I go to the airport, the Chinoy Express picks me up? And when I come home, the Chinoy Express picks me up. Anybody? Peter Sai. By the way, Peter can't sing. If you ever heard him sing, it's scary, scary. Peter is goofy as a bed bug, but Peter is, by the way, the most loyal person to his handicapped son I have ever met. The wife, not so much. Him, yes. And he always wants to help me. We need people like this. I have a list of them, by the way. I was blessed in St. Louis with Kirk Mellon, associate pastor. Tim Kowak has been that here. Amy has been that, obviously, in many ways since she's come on board. And I'm, by the way, this is not a brag time. I could talk about more people. I'm going to talk about people who do things and they have no interest in being known. They just do them. Jim Duncan did that with Awana for decades. Always a blessing and a help. And by the way, not trying to make Jim Duncan look like the greatest in the world, trying to support the ministry, because it takes a lot of people. I have a piano player. Do you know how hard it is to find a piano player these days? Have you ever wondered why churches go to terrible, rocky kind of music? They don't have anybody to play a piano. Very rare anymore, especially in any quality. My wife does that. I have exceptional deacons. Yes, I do. By the way, it's always the work. It's always being like-minded. It's never to think about ourselves. It's just you got to do what you got to do. I'm going to say this, and we're almost finished. It's going to be a little bit longer than 30 minutes. Forgive me. Everybody look at me. I need people to support me logistically. I need people who aren't interested in themselves. Because can I say this? One day I'll be dead and gone. You know how long this church will remember Ralph Warren after he's dead and gone? About 30 seconds. You move on to a new pastor. By the way, one day you'll be dead and gone, and that's how long they will remember you. You do what you do for the Lord. And I want to say it in this level. Sometimes you're the person that gets supported. Sometimes you're the support. But in some ways, every single person is both supporting someone and being supported. That's the ministry. Can I ask you, join in, but not just at church. You find out that somebody, by the way, you don't know this. Nobody knows this except Jenny. Tim knows it. I intentionally go out with Peter Tsai. He is the most ignored person in our church. I don't think you heard me. The most ignored person that's been a member of this church and a part of this church for a long time. Most people don't know if he's here or not. I do. So I make sure I take him out to eat. And I listen to him. For my support, by the way, my job is to support him. And another way, he comes along and supports me. That's what we do. Number three. Now, this is a little more technical. Titus was also not only an emotional support and a logistical, practical support, he was a theological or a doctrinal support. Everyone look at me so you get the drift. There's something that's not evident. Unless you understand the New Testament, Paul's first book, Galatians. Who's mentioned? Titus. His last book, 2 Timothy. As far as I can tell, there's only one man that spans the whole thing. Luke doesn't. Titus. He was there in the beginning when Paul was under the gun for the gospel itself, and people were trying to crush them and deny the gospel, and by the way, do what we always do, mix gospel with works of one variety or another. Galatians 6. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now, this is before Acts 15, folks. Verse 2. And I went up by revelation, and I communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So Titus not only went with him, Titus was a Greek. Everybody look at me. I've said it 100 times. In order to be saved, a Jew doesn't have to become a Gentile. And a Gentile doesn't have to become a Jew. Anytime you start playing that game, works enter into the picture. By the way, a Jewish person could be saved, follow the Christ. By the way, Jesus is Jewish. The Messiah is Jewish. They could even observe Passover. They could do all of the feasts because the feasts are biblical. They would understand the feast a little better because they'd understand that they're pointing to Christ and future events, but Titus was the support to Paul. Everyone look at me. I'm almost done. From the very early days, before Acts 15, to the very end of his life, he had a guy named Titus who supported him emotionally, look at me, logistically or practically, and doctrinally. Now, this is what some of you, I think you all already know this. I have implicit trust in two men in this ministry. One of them sitting here, and one of them is in Mountain Province in the Philippines, freezing. By the way, you saw the pictures, Cliff. All the guys in Mountain Province, it's hilarious. They're in the Philippines and are in coats. You say, why? Because it's like 55 degrees. They got to have a coat on. Now listen, friends, there are other people I trust too. Cliff, one day when he finishes Central, I know you will be edumacated beyond your means. Please look at me. Do you understand how few people you can trust theologically? I know a Noel. You know how I know Noel's doing what I do, Cliff? Because the people that he's influencing now are taking my Bible study on Tuesday from Mountain Province. Let's stand. May I ask you, did you listen tonight? Do you need emotional supports? The answer is, you got to seek them out. Please, everybody, no corrosive relationships. That doesn't even mean, by the way, that doesn't mean that that person is corrosive always. It might be whatever's in the two of you comes out wrong. That doesn't mean you hate them. That means you put them a little bit outside the circle and you focus on other people that always bring you forward. Hear me, number two. We all need logistical support. Now, by the way, I could name many people in this room. I think of Mike. Unless you come up here, you don't see it. Most people still think the grass cuts itself around here. And all of the tree limbs that fall every place, they just disappear because it's Lake County. I see him out there picking stuff up. I want to say this to you. He shouldn't have done this. I saw him out there rolling a log one day. You shouldn't be doing that. I saw you. You old geezer, you shouldn't be doing that. Look at me, friend. We all need logistical support, and we all need to be in each other's corners theologically. Titus, he was that special stay and support for Paul. I need them. I need to be them. Father, thank you for tonight. Bless our time. Thank you for this just precious text. Thank you that I have a large group of people that do this, and I am blessed by it. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.